Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode of Live with Joe. I am Josh, and of course, we're here
I'm
with
Joe.
Yes, and we're so thankful that you guys have joined us for another episode. And to all of our partners, a very special thank you for those of you that have been praying and giving financially. You are helping us reach
so
many people.
Yeah, you're the reason this happens. We're reaching millions because of you and you alone.
Yes.
You make this happen. We would not be able to do this without you.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Absolutely. We are so
thankful.
There'll
be treasure in heaven. And you'll wonder, where did I get this? Well, you helped showing them do that. It's like, because we're reaching people we never could have reached without this. The new technology is just amazing.
So. Absolutely. And so we just want to just encourage you as well. Not only have we been giving out through these videos, but Joe's also traveling all over. So go to joemcgee.com and you can look at the event. You can also visit our store, see all the great products that are available and great resources, not only for you, but maybe someone in your family or some friends that you know that can use some wisdom and some help.
And people ask all the time, well, Joe, how did we get you? We invite me.
Yes.
Well, what size church you go to? Any size.
Yeah.
Any size. The smallest church I've ever been to was in Oklahoma City, had 5 people. The next smallest one was 12. The biggest church I've been to had 12,000. We go to any size. If I have an open day and you invite me, I show up.
Yes.
It's that simple.
He travels to help people.
Yes.
He doesn't care about the amount of people. It's just to help people.
That's right. So. Just trying to be obedient to what God said. God opens doors, no man can shut.
Yeah.
If he opens one, we're going through it. So
absolutely. So go see where he's at. You're going to love seeing him in person. And then also, pastors, if you'd like to invite him, you can do it from that same events page. But we're excited today to talk about being a problem solver.
Have mercy.
And I love, you have this DVD available, Blessed Are the Problem Solvers. And I love this quote on the back. It says, understanding who you are in Christ will enable you to find solutions you've never seen before.
Whoa. Deep.
Deep. And it says, another word for a peacemaker is a problem solver.
Yes. Jesus said, Matthew said, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. One translation says, blessed are the problem. A peacemaker is a problem solver.
Yeah.
Not a pot stirrer. What do you do?
Yeah.
I show up, I solve stuff, I fix stuff,
yeah.
Make things better. Jesus came to earth, what did he do? To restore mankind to God. Man was messed up. He's going to hell on purpose. And man, there's death and dying, disease. Man lived to be 900 years in the first, then he's 700 years and 500. Now, today, it's about 78. So man's been dying off for a long time. Hell hates humans.
Mm-hmm.
Hell hates all humans. Hates all things that are human. Your church, your business, your neighborhood, your health, your wealth, your marriage, your children. Hell hates everybody.
Yeah.
It's an equal opportunity hater. Well, we're on an alien planet behind enemy lines, but we have the armor of God, Ephesians 6. So what are you doing? Well, we're looking to storm the gates of hell. Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. What are you doing? Well, I'm looking for some hell to storm. Well, what's that involve? Solving problems.
Yeah.
Every day you get up, you got to be a blessing to your neighbor, to your spouse, to your children, to your uncle, to your aunt, your parents, your church, your community. People ought to be thankful that you live there.
Yeah.
They ought to be, man, I'm glad we got that neighbor. I'm glad he lives next door. I'm glad, because you want to be a blessing. So that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Leave everybody better than we find them.
And it's important. I made a decision. I want to be a problem solver.
Yeah.
I want to be a peacemaker. And I feel like we almost live in a world that is addicted to strife.
Yes, we
we're
are.
Addicted
oh,
to creating it. Woo. And living in it. All it takes is to log onto social media for a little bit, and you'll see everyone.
Everybody's got an opinion, got a hymn, got a thought. Please keep your mouth shut. Unless you're helping somebody, keep it to yourself.
Yeah. And one thing that I've learned to recognize is if I can see a problem, then that must mean that I can have the ability to help solve it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to judge. Well, dear God, don't they see what the problem is? No, evidently they don't. So why don't you go and help them out?
Yeah, and the way that I problem solve is not complaining about
it.
That is not going to fix anything. So I recognize if I find that I want to complain about something, that means I recognize a problem. And that problem could be with something or it could be with me. But either way, I recognize there's a problem.
Yeah.
So instead of complaining, my other option is to be a problem solver.
I'm telling you.
Figure out how to solve the issue that I'm seeing or how to address myself.
Now, you have to understand God's attitude about this. When man sinned, and Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired from the job, evicted from the house, and their kids started killing one another. Now, that's the first family in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so God's in heaven watching all this. And I try to imagine the conversation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I can hear God looking at the Son, look at that. Adam has shot his foot off. I knew he was going to go stupid on me. I said, I was going to be this messed up. But I'm going to have to send you down there to fix it, son. You're the only one I've got.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go like you because a human lost it. A human's got to get it back. So I got to find some man down there that'll give me his son. And through his family line, I can give you. So if you read Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 1, it's the family line of Mary, the family line of Joseph, and they are both traced back to Abraham. So God said, I'm going to find an old guy that'll give me his son. And said, and of course, he took him to the mountain, raised him up. God said, stop. In your heart, you just gave me your son. So through your family, I'll give my son. So God was in a problem-solving mode from day one.
Yeah.
I got this thing figured out. And it's not going to happen overnight, but some people, the Old Testament people, look forward to it by faith. We look back on it by faith. It's still faith. What do you believe? I believe what God says is the truth. Do you understand it? No, I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. I just believe it.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for me, and God raised from the dead. I think he's at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's praying for me. There are so many angels, you cannot count them. They're innumerable, and there are angels around me right now. They protect me, and they keep evil away. It doesn't mean bad things don't happen to people, but whatever bad happens, God will work it out to my good. God said, I saw everything that will never come against you, and I've already made a way out. That's in the Bible. Whatever I'm facing today, I tell my family, God has already made a way out. There's a way to fix this. Now, are you focused on the fixing part or the griping part and the complaining part? Well, it's the Republicans' part, the Democrats' fault, his fault. No, whatever's going on in my life, it's my fault. Responsibility starts with me. So I've got to be the problem solver starting with me.
Yeah.
So with my family, my marriage, my kids, my money, my health, whatever, it starts with me.
Yeah.
And God's going to help me. Whatever I set my hand to, he'll make it prosper. So I need to start, not gripe, not complain, not write a newspaper editorial. Start being a blessing.
Yeah. You know, something I realized, too, is it takes no effort for me to complain.
No, it doesn't.
Because all I'm doing is regurgitating something that's going through my eyes or through my ears. I'm not having a creative thought about it. All I'm doing is pointing out something that's already happening. And I want to be a problem solver. It's going to take a little bit of effort. But the good news is I have a problem solver's DNA.
Boom.
When I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I got a new father.
I was custom made to fix stuff.
Yes. And so my father is the ultimate creator. He's the ultimate problem solver, the ultimate peacemaker. And I've been given his nature.
Woo.
I've been made in his image.
Whoa.
So that means that whether I realize it or not, that's who I'm made to be. So that's what meditation, Joshua 1:8-9, you shall meditate on this book of the law day and night. Why? So that I can recognize who I really am. So that now I can start living that way.
In whom? In him. In Christ. Yeah. Like, what do you realize? When I go through the scriptures, hey man, I've already been made a problem solver. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think it out. I just need to show up and do something. I just show up. What are you going to do? I'm here. What are you going to do? Fix something. I'm going to solve something. You know, that's my job. It's what I do. It's what God anointed me to do. And so if you don't do that, it's the reverse thing that happens quick. I tell people, God gave you a barometer to know where you're at. It's your mouth. Life and death is the power of your tongue.
Yeah.
You talk 5 minutes, you can mark your own self. What just came out of my mouth? What's in my heart in abundance? Whoa, my heart is messed up. Yeah, you need to replace that nasty stuff with the Word of God. That's what Joshua shared. You got to meditate in the Word day and night. You know, Psalm 1:1-3, Proverbs 29:18. You got to meditate in the Word day and night. Then you'll prosper and have good success. Psalm 1:1-3. Meditate. What is it? Read a scripture every day. Read a proverb every day. Get some new thoughts.
Yeah.
And so, because the devil's going to bring a thought to your mind. Well, is that the Word of God? No. Then don't cast that thought down, the Bible said.
Yeah.
Don't think on those things. Think on these things. Whatever's lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, good report. That's how you fix stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we're going to do it. Well, I'm here to be a blessing. I'm going to leave everything better than I find it.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, too, is if you just sit and tell yourself, don't complain, don't think those thoughts, that's not going to work.
No, it won't.
You don't get darkness out by telling darkness to go. You get darkness out by putting light
in.
You
gotta shine the light in it.
Yeah, darkness is the absence of light. So when there's light, the darkness flees.
Woo!
So you've got to put the Word of God into your mind and then let it come out of your mouth.
Man.
And I think one thing that God has been doing from the very beginning is trying to just get us to accept who we already are. Who he made us to be.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, and so he says that I'm righteous. He says that I'm holy. He said that I'm loved and accepted. So now what is my job? To accept it.
He says I can do all things.
He says it.
He says all things are possible. Well, if he said it, he doesn't lie.
Yeah.
He's God. Must be true.
Yeah.
But the devil always try to remind, the devil's a reminder of when you've done something bad, stupid. You did this, you did this. Yeah, I was a heathen, but I repented. Even as a Christian, you do that? Mm-hmm. Why? I sinned. What'd you do? I repented. There's no record of it in heaven. Even God cannot remember it because I've repented of it. It's covered in the blood. God himself cannot remember my past sins.
Yeah.
There's a book in heaven with my name on the end of it. And if you get to heaven, you'll see my book. And that book is soaked in blood. You can't read it. Why? It's covered by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
I've been bought with a price. My attorney is in heaven.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus Christ. And so he defends me. He speaks up for me. He takes care of me. I've got it made. My job is to go find somebody else to love.
Uh-huh.
My job, my whole life, is to find somebody to help, somebody to love.
Yeah.
Blessed are the help me. Best of the problem solver. What are you going to do? I'm going to leave everything better than I find it. You're going to, if I used to tell people, if I leave your company, you're going to cry. You're not going to throw a party if I leave you. Because I'm going to leave you real good. Mm-hmm. And so two great companies I worked for, they did. They begged me, hey, can we give you a raise? Said, no, because I'm called to do something else. I'm called to do this. And so I remember when I left that last engineering job and he headed to the ministry, the owner came out, flew in from Dallas. Joe, you don't need to do this ministry thing. You can't make any money doing that. You need to do this. We're going to give you a big raise. We're going to give you a promotion. We're going to fly you to West Virginia, put you in charge of this company. I mean, they were hanging carrots out big time. And the more they talked, the more I thought, no, I know what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
If I've attracted this much hell in a good thing, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And so, and then when we stepped out, now you need to understand that. Then when we finally stepped out, we sold our house, quit our job. We moved to the next city where the Bible school was. My two kids, we left with neighbors, both got the flu. They'd never been sick. I got two young girls that got sick. We can't find a place to rent. I got a U-Haul full of furniture. I got to turn the U-Haul in, but I can't because there's no place to store the furniture in the U-Haul. Mm-hmm. I can't find a house to rent because there's no house to rent. And I remember for 3 days, all there was before cell phones, so pay phones weren't working in the city. And I remember I thought, God, if you just, why? And so I called my pastor and back in Missouri. I said, Pastor, I miss God. I've been following God for 3 days and there's nothing working. Man, my kids are sick. I can't find a house to rent. I can't find a place to store my furniture. I can't find, and I'm just going on just negative. All of a sudden, pastor's wife's on the phone. Great lady, but meaner than snot. And all of a sudden, I heard her yell, shut up, shut up, shut up. I thought, what? And my wife's like, what'd she say? She's telling me to shut up. And so she rips off praying like me at 90 miles an hour. And she said, I just released the angels of God. You'll have a house in 30 minutes. And hung the phone up. I thought, my dad's right. I'm in a cult. And so I sat down, little cheap hotel, little gaudy orange-covered beds and orange carpet. Plastic chair. So there's a plastic clock on the wall. I flipped that chair around, and I just sit down, and I stare at that clock. And my wife, what are you doing? I said, God's got 30 minutes to find me a place. I'm going to West Virginia. I've been working for God for 3 days, and this stinks. He's a sorry, horrible employer. So it's like 25 minutes went by on the clock, and the phone rings. So I figure it's the hotel trying to get me out, you know.
Yeah.
And so I picked up and said, hello. Said, is this Joe McGee? I said, yeah. So this is Vanita Fair Realty. You were in here 3 days ago trying to find a house? And I said, there wasn't any? Yeah. You can't believe this, but a couple wanting to sell a house just decided to rent it. It's within a mile of your Bible school, a three-bedroom, fenced-in yard. Is that what you were looking for? I said, yeah. Well, you can come by and get it. I said, okay. And I remember this. I hung the phone up. My wife's like, what is it? I just want God to kill me. Just don't kill me. I'm sorry. I'm thumb-sucking. I'm a whiner. Please forgive me. And so, but I realized that's how it is. Anytime you step out for God, there's going to be opposition.
There is, yeah.
And resistance. So God's trying to find mighty men, not wimpy men. And you don't have to be strong. God will be strong through you. Just show up.
Yeah.
If you'll show up, you put your foot on the water, God will part it.
Yeah.
And so we're problem solvers.
We are.
So in your marriage, in your business, in your community, what are you going to do? Well, I can't grovel. I'll tell you what they're doing wrong. No. Okay, what can I do to fix this? How can I make this better? Write a letter, you know. I just wrote an editorial. I really appreciate what they're doing here in the city. I know people are grapping, but I know they're trying to fix some things. Man, I got so many compliments and had a couple of businessmen invite me to a breakfast. And so I got invited to breakfast, three pastors there, and they invited me to the church. Like, oh, man, I just wrote a nice letter. I didn't know I was doing a marketing thing. If you start helping people, doors start flying open.
Yes.
I'm telling you, you want to be a problem solver? Doors will compete. They'll just keep opening up for you.
Yes.
You want to be a thumb sucker? it's going to get nasty and dark.
Yeah. Mm. And I want doors to be open for me. Everyone does. We all do. And so there's a clear way for me to do that. That's to be a problem solver. And one thing, and like we had mentioned before, we have to accept what's already true about us. I love the scripture you shared that said we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
Ooh.
You know, something I realize is that's true whether I believe it or not.
That's right. It doesn't matter what you believe.
The truth doesn't become true because I believe it.
Mm.
The truth is the truth, but it becomes a reality to me. For me, when I believe it, God has already declared and already declared truth that I can do all things through Christ. Now, that's true whether I believe it or not, but if I believe it and start speaking it, now it becomes my reality and I can start experiencing that truth in my life. And so if I start speaking out, I'm a problem solver. I'm a peacemaker. And that's already true, but once I accept it and start speaking it, I can start
becoming
it.
You need to put a bumper sticker out of that. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus, in his 3.5 years of ministry, he went place to place solving problems.
Yes.
And Jesus always asked, now you got to get this, Jesus always asked people, before he ever ministered, he asked every time, what do you want me to do? What would you like me to do for you? And so the old blind Bartimaeus side of the road said, what can I do for you, blind man? And Peter says, well, Lord, he didn't have any eyes. I'm not talking to you, Peter. I'm talking to the blind man. Shut up. I'm talking to the blind. Blind man, what can I do for you? He said, Lord, I've not received my sight. Well, Jesus fixed his eyes. Well, man, he got up and got excited. Well, they drug him down to the Sanhedrin later on that day, and they grilled him. Do you believe this guy's the Son of God? Blind man said, I don't know. I know once I was blind, and now I see. That's all I know. He didn't turn into a bandit. He's got his eyeballs back. Yeah. Later on that day, Jesus raised a dead kid at a funeral, had 5,000 happy meals that evening. What are you doing? I'm solving problems.
Yeah.
I'm in a problem-solving mode. And that's who we are in Christ. What are we going to do? I want to fix it. It's not my IQ. It's not my GPA. It's not how many degrees I have. It's just whether you show up.
Yeah.
I'm a child of God. I show up. We can part the water if we need to.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Whatever I'm going to do is natural. God asked the children of Israel, I need you to walk around the walls of Jericho. What? Yeah, I need you to walk around the walls. And do what? Keep your mouth shut and don't say a word. I'm not going to let you complain or gripe. You're going to negative. So for 6 days, they walk around the walls of Jericho one time each day. And I'm sure every day they thought, well, that was the dumbest waste of time I've ever seen. What's that? Because the big walls, you can ride 3 chariots side by side around on top of that wall. That's a big place. So on the seventh day, they walked around 7 times. And that was a long day.
Yeah.
How many times have we been around? 3. Oh, dear God, you're kidding. We got 4 more to go. So they're all walking. I'm sure they're wanting to say something. At the end of the seventh time, instead of grabbing God's name, on the end of the seventh time, you get your mouth puckered up and you blow on those trumpets. And when they blew those trumpets, those walls came down.
Hmm.
Now, a couple things I want you to know. What we do by faith.
Yeah.
It's not in your head. It's a heart issue. We do whatever God asks me. What are you going to do? Whatever God asks me. I'm going to be willing and obedient. And then the last thing I tell people, you know, when they walk around the walls, they walk around the walls 13 times. 6 days, one each, 7 days on the seventh day, that's 13. People say, 13's a bad number. Oh, no, it's a really good God number. That's a real good number. Because the number 13, those walls came down, and they got a great victory that day. It's just being obedient.
Yeah.
Just being obedient to the Word of God. So get your Bible open. Read a scripture. It'll stir you up, I promise you.
Yeah, and make a determination, like you've said multiple times, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to leave it better than how I found it.
Come on.
If you can make that simple determination, I'm going to provide value. I'm not just going to go to work and collect a paycheck. No, I'm going to provide value. I'm going to give them more than they're paying me.
You're going to be glad I was there.
Yes, exactly. And so we just want to encourage you guys. You are peacemakers. You are problem solvers. That's in your DNA.
That's how the creator of the universe sees you right now.
Yes.
We're not making this up.
No.
This is some positive sermon. It's just the Bible. That's what God says.
Yeah. So we're excited. We know that God's working in your life, and you're allowing Him to work through you and solve problems in your relationships, in your family, at your job, wherever you're at. There's going to be a lot of problems that are solved. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, please share this with some friends and family. You can also share the audio version everywhere that you listen to podcasts. And again, a very special thank you to all of our partners.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great day.
Bless you. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.